This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, open up language to see a tiny plastic ballerina turning around and around. Coming up in today's show is my final linguistic adventure with a fellow Radiotopian, as far as this current spate of episodes goes. On with the show. There's a language which is said to be the smallest language in the world. It has around 123 words, 14 letters of the alphabet, and apparently you can become fluent in it in around 30 hours of study. It's called Tokipona.
The word Tokipona means literally good language, or simple language, or like Toki means talk, or language, or speech, or communication, and Pona means good, or simple, or friendly. So it's kind of all those ideas in one.
So it's a very positive language.
Positive, simple language, exactly, yeah.
Sonia Lang invented Tokipona in 2001. She's a linguist who grew up in Canada speaking French, English, and the French-Canadian dialect Shaq. Then she studied variously Spanish, Latin, German, Finnish, Cantonese, American Sign Language, Esperanto, Dutch.
It's not like I intended to make a language, it just somehow spontaneously, after learning many different languages, my brain was kind of just trying to, I guess, restructure itself and understand all these different things that I was learning, and it just kind of came up with this way of organizing words and ideas. And so I had to kind of write it down and let it out somehow, so I did, and it became Tokipona. But there were some conscious design decisions as well, like I wanted to keep things simple.
Constructed languages go back a long time. There was quite a movement in the 17th century to find a universal language, although so far none has achieved world domination. Esperanto is the most successful, with an estimated 2 million speakers. And constructed languages have myriad different intentions. Bliss Symbols was designed to be a universal writing system, and it's now used a lot to teach people with severe speech or learning difficulties to communicate. There are computer programming languages, which are not exactly designed for chit-chat. Languages are invented for books and TV and film, like Elvish and Navi and Klingon. Some constructed languages are experimental, such as Kellen, which has no verbs and deliberately sounds non-human. And there are Lojban and Ithquil, which aim to allow users to express any thought precisely. But Tokipona is different. It doesn't aim to replace other languages. It doesn't even really share the primary intention of most languages, to help humans communicate easily with other humans. It's somewhat more introspective. Sonia calls Tokipona her philosophical attempt to understand the meaning of life in 120 words.
It's all about minimalism, so I mean, if I can express something with fewer words, obviously that's better. And part of that was also, I'd say, like a mental thing, like a cognitive, psychological kind of thing. Like, how can I reduce my thoughts, you know, instead of thinking about 20 million different things? Or, you know, if someone's surfing the internet and they have like 20 different tabs open, like, it's like, no, let's just have one tab, you know, and this is like simplify your workspace or simplify your thoughts was a core part of the endeavor, like a way to kind of audit your thoughts and to look at what are you thinking about, what are you worried about, and you know, simplify the problem.
I do always have dozens of tabs open on my browser, and my thoughts have gone unaudited ever since I became aware of having any, so I was intrigued by Tokipona, especially as one of my fellow Radiotopians decided he wanted to learn it with me.
This is the Memory Pollutionist. I'm Nate DeMeo.
As well as helming the heart-rending history podcast The Memory Palace, Nate is fond of learning new languages.
I feel like I've learned like the rudiments and to be polite in like 9 languages just for fun. The very first thing you learn to say is, "Excuse me, ma'am, do you speak English?" And
and if she says yes, then you don't need the rest.
Yes, then exactly. Then you're done. That's the short course. The notion when I read about Tokipona, not only was it like a fun language that I could hopefully learn over the course of a week and then fumble around with, its goal seemed to be kind of poetic. And I'm a sucker for that kind of thing.
Before starting to study Tokipona, I wanted to get a grounding in how the language itself had started, from the very rudiments, such as how its words were built.
Like, I did intentionally seek out phonemes, sounds that are common in most world languages. So most languages of the world have the phoneme a, or the consonant m. These exist in almost every, if not every, language of the world. So I took those first to be automatically in the language. And then I sort of looked a little bit broader, and T and a D, I merged those into a sound because they're very similar. So I guess my process was trying to simplify all the different phonemes into a very small set that anybody in the world could pronounce.
And then when it comes to grammar, are you trying to simplify what's already there or create a new and better system?
The grammar came after. I think the first thing that I tried doing was putting together nouns and noun phrases. So like the idea of combining things in the language where, like, for example, the word for friend is yanpona, good person. The word for enough is mutepona, good quantity. Like, I started combining these ideas together to form deeper ideas. So once I had those little clusters of little noun phrases like that, I had to combine them into a sentence. Okay, well, the friend goes to the bank, and the bank is like a money house, because that's the two words that mean bank. So then I sort of came up with little particles that divide between the subject and the verb and the object to just sort of demarcate, like, okay, well, this clump here, what does it do? Okay, it does this thing, and then to what? Okay, to that thing. So that's where the idea of words like li and e in the language come from.
In Tokipona, nouns can become adjectives, can become verbs, can become adverbs. The way they're ordered and the particles like li and e provide context for their function within the phrase, which is similar to how English syntax and prepositions work. But because in Tokipona, the words don't change form according to which part of speech they are, it was a bit of a job for me to wrap my head around how it works. I imagined the noun, verb, adjective word as a cuboid building block, and the particle as, say, the triangular block that you put on top to make a house, or the cylindrical blocks that you put underneath to make a car. But sometimes paring things down this much can get quite complicated.
There's a very, very simple number system where you just have the word for one and two, and then another word for many. So it's like, okay, I have many books, I have one sister, I have two parents.
What if you had, say, eight sisters?
You could just say you have many.
Okay.
I mean, you can also, there's an alternative advanced numbering system where you can say, like, okay, well, I have hand has five fingers. So I have hand sisters, that's five sisters, like the fingers on my hand. But if there's eight, that's like hand and two and one. So you can sort of add up numbers like that as well. But for me, the idea was always to simplify. So it's like eight, that's too specific. Let's just say many.
It reminded me a bit of Roman numerals, the advanced system where you build the words together.
Yeah, that's the same idea, yeah.
There are also only five words for colours. Walo is white or pale, pimeja is black or dark, lasso is blue or green, lohe is red, yellow is yellow. Combine these words to form other colours, similar to how the Old English word for orange was yellow-red, as I learnt in the brunch episode of this show. But maybe it isn't that important to be able to label a particular colour. Tokipona is not prescriptive, it's suggestive. But because it's not that specific, if I mentioned Soweli Primeha, a dark animal, you might assume that I meant a grizzly bear, when actually I was talking about a dachshund. So Tokipona demands that you make more effort to interpret what the other person might mean when you're in conversation.
But here's the thing, when I think about the value of a language as simple as this, I can picture us being truly fluent and having a very interesting conversation and it giving me a window into the way that you think and me feeling more empathy for you as a result and vice versa, and everything's lovely.
In conversation, the speed at which you could interpret what someone else was trying to tell you would make it not really a conversation. So what would that make it?
That's interesting.
And then to construct your own response.
Mm-hmm.
Using your own particular shades of interpretation of how this particular language works so metaphorically.
Well, one thing I really like about it is that I think that because of the comprehensiveness of English and of French and of Romanian and on, there is a fiction that we are understanding each other. The sort of simple kind of like stoner's case is the idea that, you know, I say blue and I might see it in a totally different hue than you see it. And isn't that cool, man? But the other aspect of it, it is real that, like, no matter what we are communicating about,
we're all just alone.
We are all sort of alone. And, like, you know, the philosophical side of me kind of likes that you go into a Tokipona conversation with an understanding that your understanding is probably your own.
Yeah.
And that we are going to come to something where each of our mutual understandings will mingle, will create this third thing that kind of floats out there. And that's kind of lovely.
Because my worry is that there's such a limitation of expression that it might actually limit thoughts.
Oh, interesting. So if you and I were to stand in a field and look at the many different types of birds, mm-hmm. not only do you fear that there would be a particular starling that really struck you, not only would you not be able to say, hey, Nate, look at that starling. And I go, hey, what's a starling look like? You know, it's the one that's got kind of fuzzy. And I'm like, oh, that one. Not only could we not share that experience, you think that it might actually limit the way that you could, if you were thinking in Tokipona, it might actually limit the way that you were like processing the experience of seeing this field and these birds. Is that right?
Yes, because it's not only practical things. Sometimes there are emotional things you don't know to identify because you don't actually have the vocabulary to formulate thoughts and speeches about them. But on the other hand, maybe that's just my small-c conservative English speaker thought. English with its hundreds of thousands of words rather than 123.
I totally get what you mean about the limiting thoughts, and I feel like, you know, a mastery of English, you know, like a true mastery of English in understanding in an illusionist way, you know, words and their meanings and words and their origins and all of that stuff, the sort of existential need for that. And the reason why, you know, if I am to sort of throw myself on the couch and self-analyze, like, is that I just really want to connect. Like, I really want people to understand what I mean and what I'm feeling, you know, and not feel alone in the universe as a result, right?
Yeah.
And so with Tokipona, I do kind of wonder if, you know, if you and I are going to walk through some field, on the one hand, you know, me, the Memory Palace guy, you, the illusionist woman, are going to like want to have like a very word-filled conversation to dissect our experience. At the same time, I also totally realize that you and I may well be better off going out and smelling the grass and processing that experience in a less mediated way. And maybe Tokipona would sort of allow us to do that better.
There was only one way to find out.
Jan, that's right. Jan Lili Limeli.
Mute, Sueli Mute, Sueli Mute, many badgers.
Sueli Meli Lipona. Sueli Meli Lipona. Ni Li Sueli Lili.
Two. To one.
Ni Li Jan Pona.
Luca. Luca one.
Ni Li Jan Pona.
Luca two.
Ni Li Jan Pona.
Luca to one.
Lipu.
Luca to two. Luca Luca. Jan Pona Mute. Jan Pona Mute.
Jan Pona Mute. How many hands do you have?
Two.
How many legs does a cow have?
Two, two.
How many legs do two cows have?
Luca, two, one.
Very good. Look at you.
Look at me.
Kili li kili tello. I look forward to saying kili li kili tello. Excuse me, sir. Kili li kili tello. The fruit is a watermelon.
Kamapono, Nate DeMeo.
Welcome, Nate DeMeo.
Toki, Helen.
Hello, Helen.
Sina wile tello suno.
Would you like some tea?
Mi wile telo suno.
I would love some coffee.
Mute olen suno telo.
I really do love coffee.
Suno Lipona.
Yes, tea is delicious.
I hadn't realized until trying to construct phrases in Tokipona how much negativity is something I use in construction. I was trying to think of a word for without, and I couldn't find that. And just like the slight undercutting of things to get the right degree of
Without-ness,
emotion, I suppose. Yeah.
So many positives are constructed through negative language. And I did see myself being like, ooh, I don't quite know how to go down this road without being able to kind of like begin with a dispositive.
Yeah. And it's not, I don't think I'm a particularly negative person.
Sure.
But again, maybe it's just I use sarcasm or irony a lot more than I consciously realize.
Yeah, I mean, as someone from the UK and as someone born in New England, like sarcasm and irony are the lifeblood of communication. And you know, you're absolutely right. Those things are very difficult to achieve in Tokipona.
That's true. You might have to deal with reality. That's hard.
No.
You can't just gloss over it and say something funny. But I mean, it's a coping mechanism, right? Like it's
yes.
Humor is extremely important. But you're right. I never thought of it with that angle, because Tokipona is very blunt in a certain sense.
You're right as well that I used humor as a coping mechanism. It's just quite an easy way to grease the social wheels. And I've never been able to speak another language idiomatically enough to be able to do that outside of English.
Yeah. Well, it's a good sign. Like, if you can be funny in another language, then you know you're well on your way to mastery.
I'm just going to be a nothing in other languages. Everything that I consider to be myself will just be nullified by my inability to speak properly.
I think what I have found is that I'm so used to having a very, very broad palette with which to work in English, because it's such a massive language and there are so many synonyms or things with very slight degrees of distinction. So you can communicate very specifically what you want, and also I can use irony or imagery that is not literal and people get it. So with Takipona, I was trying to find the words to express what I wanted to say, and finding it so difficult to be exact that I just would then think, maybe I shouldn't bother expressing it.
Exactly.
So it came round to minimalism in another way.
When was the last time you, Helen Zaltzman, had the thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this? So there might be some utility to that.
I think what Takipona has given me is not a new form of communication, but a new way of thinking about communication entirely.
Hmm. That's a big statement. How do you say big statement? It would be like, that is pona wawa, speech that's strong.
I might say it's pilin suli, big feelings.
Oh, it's big feelings, that's true.
Maybe. But also pilin lili, small feelings.
Small feelings.
If you want to learn Tokipona, visit tokipona.org for links to the ebook and the very active Facebook group where you can practice with others. Nate DeMeo's gorgeous podcast about moments in history, The Memory Palace, is at thememorypalace.us. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is kobold, noun in Germanic mythology, a spirit who haunts houses or lives underground. Try using it in an email today. To find the show online, seek out Allusionist Show on Facebook and Twitter, and visit me at the show's forever home, theallusionist.org.
Next time I speak with you, Helen, I am going to be a master of Tokipona.
I feel quite competitive about it.
I don't know if Tokipona leaves room for competitiveness. We'll have to find out.
If it does, I'm going to find that room. And I'm going to open the windows.
And I'll push you through.